of our discussion this morning is our best. I had a class while at Southwest School of Bible Studies that was called Between the Testaments. It consisted of the 400 years that intervened between the closing of the Old Testament and the opening of the events recorded in the New Testament. Malachi is the last voice of the prophets. If you would, turn with me to the book of Malachi. We'll begin reading with verse 6, read through verse 10. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you. O priest that despise my name, and say, wherein have we despised thy name? You have offered polluted bread upon mine altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee, in that ye say the table of the Lord is contemptible? And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord? And what Malachi is literally saying here is that you wouldn't even offer this to pay your taxes. And now I pray, beseech God, that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? And we know that God is no respecter of persons. Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on mine altar for naught. For I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. I do not intend to make this a discussion of the book of Malachi. But what I want to do is pull some principles out of this section of Scripture, at least in my mind, that are crystal clear. Number one, God does not want, nor does he desire, our leftovers and scraps. He will not accept our second best. Now, I want to link a verse up with what we're talking about. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Now, as we connect Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10 with our thought, this came to my mind. God knows, and he is aware of what we do, how we do it, and why we do it. You know the great thing about God and his religion? He does not require us to be the best. He just wants us to do the best we possibly can. If we put forth the effort, if we put our best foot forward, and I would add to that discounting error, God will be pleased with each of us. Are we right or wrong up to this point? Everybody okay with that? On the other hand, what if we become complacent? What if we become lukewarm in our efforts to serve God? In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, I just want to read two verses here. Jesus wasn't doing the speaking. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold nor hot. I work that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. You know, that literally means that we make Jesus sick when we become lukewarm or when we become complacent. You know, Brother Parrish and I, and I'm going to stick this in here. Brother Parrish and I were talking before services. Too many times we get caught up. We want to see the immediate increase, don't we? Now, we passed out a lot of literature. We passed out some DVDs. And you never know when that is going to go to seed, when that will take root. Like I said, we want to see the immediate results, don't we? But somewhere along the line, a heart may be touched. What we did this past week has already been a success. And you know why? Because we sowed the seed of the kingdom. Now this brings us to the heart of our message. Are we given our best when it comes to our worship? In the Gospel of Matthew, we have quoted these verses a number of times. We need to read it. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. That's what Miss Dorothy was talking about this morning. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. In the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, but the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers, and brethren, that means as opposed to those who worship incorrectly or falsely, shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. What kind of worshipers? True worshipers. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. When we worship correctly, we will have the proper attitude and disposition of heart. Number one, first towards the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37, if any man think himself to be a prophet, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. You know, the gospel was given by inspiration. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. When we read this book, we've stated before, the power's not in me, the power's in the Word, right? Romans chapter 1, verse 16. But this is God's message. This is the revealed mind of God given to mankind to get us from point A to point B, from this earth to glory. James chapter 1, verse 25 talks about the perfect law of liberty. And I think most people have an incorrect understanding when it comes to the New Testament. Their attitude is, well, you can take it or leave it. No, the New Testament is law. It is the law of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 21, and Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. In John chapter 15, verse 3, what is it? Can you tell me what is it that cleanses our souls? Jesus told his followers on that day, ye are clean through the word that I have spoken. If you want your soul to be clean, how do you accomplish that? It's a purifying process. You don't wake up one day and say, okay, I got it. We have to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's a purifying process. We learn what we're supposed to do. We conform to the message. When that means, like in Colossians chapter 3, we're going to have to add to and take away, right? When we find ourselves doing something wrong, what should we do? Repent of it. Change our hearts, our minds, our wills to conform to God. Still, when you're thinking about having the correct attitude toward the Word of God, 1 Corinthians 1:21, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. If you are interested in heaven, if it is glory you seek, where would you go? There is no place else you can go except this book. That's just like Jude 3. We are to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. This is the once delivered unto the saints faith right here. This is it. This is all we have, brethren. There's nothing else coming. Secondly, we need to have the right attitude and disposition of heart when it comes to God's Son. In Mark chapter 12, verse 6, there's a parable taking place there, Brother Fenner. He's sending messengers. God is sending messengers. And there's no doubt that he's talking about the lost nation of Israel, those tribes that have turned their back on God's Son. And God said, surely, if I send my Son, they will reverence him. That's not what happened. They killed him, is what they did. That's the reason in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, we are told that Jesus ought to have the preeminence. Do you know what that means? That he must come first in every area of our life. I was thinking not too long ago how negligent I had become when it came to my decision-making process. I need to be thinking about what would Jesus have me to do in this particular situation. Well, what do you do when you find yourself in those circumstances? Do you change? Well, yes, you do. But I'm sure I'm not alone in that boat. I have a great deal of problem when it comes to euphemisms. That's hard for me to say, but I know what a euphemism is. How many times have you heard OMG or taken the name of Jesus in vain? It was King David in the book of Psalms, in Psalms chapter 111, verse 9, who said, holy and reverend is his name. In the end, Let me tell you what worship is not about. It's not about pleasing or stimulating or satisfying our whims and our wishes. That's not what it's about. The word, you know, I got to be careful here, because the word worship in and of itself carries the idea, it's Greek word proskuneo, and we come offering acts of homage. It means to bow down before, to kiss the hand of. See, worship is about what I'm giving to God. Everybody understand that? It's not about me. Even though I am important when it comes to worship. I think anybody who's lived in this world for very long knows that the world can strain our minds and put a cramp in our hearts. But as much as humanly possible, we need to check our cares and our problems at the door when we come in. I need to concentrate and focus on what I'm doing in this hour. And I promise you, there's nothing more important than what we're doing right now. And that's worshiping the Lord God. We need to concentrate on the task that is before us this hour. Next, we need to put our best foot forward when it comes to our relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ. I am very aware that some folks are like water and oil. They just don't mix. You may not like the way I comb my hair. You might not agree with the way that I raise my children. You may not like my eating habits. You may not like my personality. But you know what? That doesn't touch top, side, or bottom the command to love one another. All of that falls into the area of personal opinion. All of our dealings with God's people, our brothers and sisters in Christ, should be governed by the principle of love. If you don't think so, do not read 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14, because it says, let all things be done by love. We are to have, according to Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, the same love for one another. In other words, what I'll do for Casey, I'll do for Emery. What I do for Emery, I'll do to Henry. And we can just go all the way down the line. Our love is to be equal. It's to be spread out amongst our brothers and sisters. Now, in a precise discussion on this very subject, we need to listen to what is being written. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Does that mean, Brother Fenner, that if I do not love according to the Bible standards, that I don't know God? Is that what it means? The answer is yes. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected or completed in us. in that very same chapter in verses 20 and 21. Notice, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, and that word hateth literally means to love less, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this is the commandment that we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Again, that goes back to what we were talking about just a few minutes ago. You may not like me as a person, but on the other hand, I may not like you as a person. So what do we need to do? How about work, labor, and strive to love those that we deem unlovable? That work out for you? As rude and crude and socially unacceptable as we consider some people to be, we still should be able to treat them the way that we would want to be treated. And especially if we were walking in their shoes. You find that in Luke chapter 6, verse 31. Now, just keep in mind, besides that, what makes you think, what makes me think, that we're all that lovable anyway? Do you think that I might be cutting across the grain of a whole host of folks? But what about you? See, we always want to think of ourselves as this big old lovable teddy bear and just everybody loves me. Well, I got a surprise for you. Here's a news flash. Everybody may not like you or love you the way they should. And that's because sometimes we are rude and we are crude and we are socially unacceptable. But that's not how we want to picture ourselves, is it? Everybody wants to think, well, I'm the finest thing that ever hit this earth. It doesn't work that way. I know, without a shadow of a doubt, that you want to be treated with all the dignity and respect and love that an offspring of God deserves. I know that. And in turn, we need to give it to other people. Amen? In order for peace and in tranquility and harmony to reign in God's house, we have to put our best foot forward. We need to give it our best effort. You know why? Because if we don't, Satan's going to gain a foothold in the congregation. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 speaks of the wiles of the devil. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 speaks of his devices. Do you think he will use that against us? Lastly, we need to give God our best. Number three, concerning our work ethics. We often sing a song that states, there's work to do. There's work on every hand. Hark, the cry for help comes ringing throughout the land. That's a great song, isn't it? Matter of fact, it's one of my favorite songs. What was said, true? Amen? Now, here's the question. Who among us will be willing to answer that call? We call to, number one, teach our children. Number two, to lead in prayers. To lead our singing. I'm thankful that we have great song leaders in this congregation. Will you answer the call to wait on the table? Teach the Bible class. And my personal pet peeve is be an encouragement to others. I understand full well that in my position, some of the things that I say may not be taken as encouragement, even though they're meant to be encouraging words. I have to be careful. Because if not, I can come across as being hard, having a stony heart. What about answering the call to be involved in benevolence? In Isaiah, chapter 6, verse 8, you've heard this on many occasions. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Brethren, we cannot afford to rest on our past laurels or our past efforts or even our past victories to get us to the promised land. Even though they are important to us and they are important to God. All of us should be saying, why not me, Lord? Let me be the one. I will go, King Jesus. Let me be that person. So what? Now, don't be offended because I'm going to use some names here. So what if I do not possess the skills of a Roy Kinslow, a Dewey Tempton, or a Paul Foley? That's not what God's looking for. You want to know what He's looking for? He's looking for soldiers of Christ who will arise up and get into the fray. That's what He's looking for. And when that is done to the best of our ability, God is pleased and all will be well. But if we fail to give God our best, Malachi chapter 3, those words will come into play and they will come back to haunt us. There God said, I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. So, as we close, how would you answer the question? Are we giving God our best? Are we putting our best foot forward when it comes to the Word of God? When it comes to reverencing and respecting His Son in God's name, I pray that it is so. But if it isn't, what better time to make amends than right now as we come and stand and sing?
God is calling the prodigal come without delay. Hear, O hearing, calling now for thee. Though you wander so far from his presence, come today. Hear